Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the fire.
Welcome to everybody. This is Trish Springsteen, and you're listening to Step Up and Speak Out with Trish. I'm a multi-international award winner, speaker, mentor, coach, and author, and my passion is working with businesses, helping them to leverage their business with speaking and communication. If you're calling in, these are the numbers. North America, 646 716-7979. If you're outside North America and you want to call in or ask a question, just follow the link you are on, which was tobtr.com/9812327, and follow the links to leave your questions in the chat box. And of course, you can also PM me on Facebook and message me there and leave your questions there. Our guest speaker today is founder of So What's Your Story, Sam Siaka. Now, Sam will be speaking with us shortly about his story, and he'll be talking about the art of personal storytelling and how it can impact others and the world. Now, storytelling is one of my absolute passions, because when we're talking about speaking and communicating, we're talking about getting your business out, we're talking about getting your message out. It's really very documented that if you can add some stories to that, you are going to connect much better with your audience, you're going to connect much better with your clients, and you're going to take your business to the level that you want it. So with Sam, we're going to be looking at some of the unique things that he's done with storytelling and where he's been taking it. Before we get to Sam, we're going to look at and listen as I talk about my frequently asked question as usual. Now, today's question is, what are the two most important things you can do to develop your speech and presentation skills? And I'm here, you're all there thinking, what am I going to do? What's the answer? Okay, preparation and practice. Now, that may not be what you thought I was going to say, but preparation and practice are a couple of things that are absolutely essential for you to develop speech and presentation skills. I'm not saying you need to memorize your words, memorize your speech word for word, because as we all know, as soon as you do that, you're going to have problems because you'll forget the next word and then you'll forget what's going to happen afterwards. But it really is essential that you plan your presentation. You need to be looking at the timing, the structure, what your audience is that you're speaking to, where you're going to be speaking. So this is all part of planning and preparation. And then you need to be practicing it, because you need to be ensuring that the words you're saying are going to flow nicely. You need to be looking at how you speak your presentation rather than read it. So you want to practice that. And you want to ensure that the timing is going to be within the time that you've been given. And I think I've mentioned this before on other shows. I'm very, very particular about timing and about what you can do with that and how that can really make or break what you're saying. And it can really affect conferences and meetings. And you really can't do any of that unless you plan your presentation. So prepare, practice. Don't read it word for word, because when you've prepared and practiced, you realize that you know your stuff. You're a subject matter expert. So then you can take your presentation and you can reduce it to dot points and concepts. And then you can use those points to be able to present and to shine. Planning and practicing and the preparation also gives you the opportunity to be comfortable and familiar with your words and how you want to present your message. So when you think about it, I'm sure a lot of people are thinking, oh, two most important things, it must be body language, it must be an expert, it must be getting new speaking gigs, it must be all of that. But when you break it down, it really is planning and practice. With those two things, you can be comfortable. You can ensure that you've got everything prepared in case Murphy's Law comes in. You know where you're going to be speaking because that's part of your planning. You know who you're going to be speaking to. You know what the outcome that the person has asked you to come and speak. You'll know what the outcome is that they're looking for to find out. So those are the things that you need to be looking at with planning, preparing, practicing your message to shine as a speaker. Now, as you know, I'll be sharing tips and techniques and strategies each show. So if there's something you would like answered, you can email me on info@trishell.com.au. That's info@trishell.com.au. Then you can just email me that, share your questions, and I will then answer them when they come on to the next show, and you can listen in and get your answers. You can also send me those questions and PM me on Facebook and just put those questions in there, and we can deal with your question at that time. Now, I like to mix my show up, and I know some of you who are regular listeners are going to say, oh, she doesn't do the quote until the end. Well, I'm going to do the quotes now. And the reason I'm going to do the quotes now is because the two quotes that I like very much, these two quotes are very pertinent to what we're going to be talking about with Sam, and it's going to be all talking about storytelling. So I thought I'd share these quotes now and give you a little bit of feel why I like them so much before we go into speaking with Sam and really delving into storytelling. So the quote that I like, the first one, and it's a Native American proverb, and it says, tell me the facts and I'll learn. Tell me the truth and I'll believe. But tell me a story and it will live in heart forever. Now, I think that really speaks to what we're talking about with storytelling. I know when I talk to my mentor clients about it, I'm really passionate about storytelling. And we talk and delve into that because it does. When people get stories, they do live in the heart forever. Now, I have another storytelling quote, but I'll share that one with you later. I thought right now we might introduce Sam and start talking about his stories and what he's been doing and what he's been setting up. Hi, Sam. Welcome to Step Up and Speak Up with Trish. How are you this morning?
Hey, Trish. Thank you. Thank you very much. I am excellent. How are you?
Absolutely fine. Really looking forward. I was just letting everybody know about and putting into context that we're going to be talking about storytelling and that we're going to be talking with you who and how you're the founder of So What's Your Story and what I would call a live storytelling mentor. So, before we get into our discussion, I'm just going to share a little bit about you with our audience. Sam is a 23-year-old man who has, for his whole life, aspired to inspire people through creative means. He started by writing short stories, then novels, then continued by becoming a pro wrestler, and we need to come back and talk about that, furthered that by writing and creative music, and truly found his niche by starting So What's Your Story? And as Sam says, I was an extremely premature baby born 16 weeks early who was never meant to survive. And because of this, I have my whole life believed that I was kept on this earth to do amazing things. Now, Sam is passionate about mentoring people to tell their stories to impact others and impact their own lives by listening to others' stories. Sam teaches people to not only understand how their lives can affect others in positive ways, but also helping them craft it into a succinct story. Wow, Sam, wonderful. And I think you are here on the earth to do amazing things. Tell us a little bit about where you've come from, what you're doing.
Definitely, yes. It's interesting because as you mentioned, I was a very premature baby. I was actually a 23 and a half weeker. I was, and I think I was one of the earliest babies born in the world at that point who'd actually survived. So I'd always kind of grown up knowing that in one way or another, I was a miracle baby, and I wasn't meant to actually kind of, you know, I wasn't meant to be on this earth, you know, it was a miracle. So I kind of subconsciously held that throughout my whole life to mean that I'm meant to do something to change the world in one way, shape, or form. And I've never really believed, personally, I've never really believed in I've never really believed in coincidences, but I really do believe that it is a coincidence. It means something that I lived. Do you know what I mean? It means something. And that drives me. And whatever I do because of that. And so yeah, when I started So What's Your Story, I didn't start it because of that though. I started it because I just wanted to give people an entertaining night out. But when I realized how much it was helping people, I said, you know what? I can't not do this. I have to keep doing this because it's helping people. And from there, it kind of just grew, and the meaning grew, and the reason I was doing it grew. And now I'm doing it for completely different reasons, and it feels amazing to be able to do something like this. It's so cool. I love it so much.
I can hear the passion in your voice there. And it is true. So sometimes we start things because, okay, we'll give it a try. And then we find that we've actually connected with what we're meant to be, and that's where the growth comes. And I think that's what's happened with you, Sam. You thought, oh, I'll try this. And then you found that solid connection is there, and you're living and breathing it.
That's absolutely right.
Would you like to just share a little bit about what What's Your Story event is about for our listeners? Just a little bit about what happens, where it goes, and the amazing things that go on.
Yeah, excellent. No worries. I like to put it like this, because a lot of people don't know what storytelling is or live storytelling. They have no idea, and they're like, oh, what is that? So I say to them, imagine walking into a theater, sitting down, seeing people there that you've never met in your life, and hearing four people tell true stories about their lives. But not only that, hearing them tell these stories that are delivered in such a raw way that really makes you feel inspired to kind of break down barriers that you may have had, or misconceived notions, or these perceptions that you've had, because that's what storytelling does. These stories get delivered in such a way that makes people think, wow, if they can be that honest, maybe I can connect with someone and share my story and be that honest as well. So the way I always like to put it is, imagine if you were depressed and you came to one of these shows and you heard a story about someone who was also depressed. And it's so true and raw and unadulterated, and they're being so honest and open. And then throughout this story, they tell you not only that they were depressed, but they tell you how they got out of it. That's what I like to say these events are about. They're about people coming together to hear stories that they can relate to, and then at the end of it all, connect with people and meet people and make friends with people based on the common ground that they now share, that they have heard people being completely honest, and they're invited to do so themselves, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolute sense. That's a very powerful event. And let's take that imagine away, because that's exactly what you're doing. That's exactly what's happening. We're not imagining anymore, Sam. This is real, and it's happening here in Brisbane, in Australia. And can you want to just share maybe a couple of little snippets about some, you know, just a couple of stories that you've heard that has been done there recently and what's happened?
Of course, yeah. This is going to be fun. Okay. We have my old film and television teacher in high school. His name's Nathan Harvey. Weirdly enough, he spoke at the first show. I said, "Hey, I'm going to get my old teacher to speak at the first show," and he's spoken at I think 7 shows now. And one of the stories that he spoke about was about the time that he actually went to Tokyo, and he went to Japan, and he actually. He stayed with a family whose daughter had come to Australia, and he, homestayed her. So when he went to Tokyo, they returned the favor and said, let's have you stay in our home. Now, the funny thing is that they have a very different culture in Japan, and they have this thing called Thursday night bath night. And Nathan Harvey's story was focusing primarily on Nathan having to unintentionally take a public bath with 200 other men, completely naked, not knowing any Japanese. And it was a story all about, his willingness to, after everything was said and done, kind of relax and take it all in for what it was and not be scared and not be kind of confronted. So we have stories like that, but we also have stories that are completely the opposite. For example, there was a story about a girl who, she was in a very abusive relationship, and when she exited the relationship, she realized that there was a tattoo. She got a tattoo of this person's name on her skin. And she realized that she didn't actually want to get that tattoo in the first place. So what she did was she got some salt, got a scrubber, went into the bathtub, and literally scrubbed this tattoo off of her skin. And it was, by all means, one of the most painful things she's ever been through. But what it did was it taught her that if she really, really wants to change something about her life or get rid of something that has been, causing her grief, no matter what, no matter how much pain she'll go through, she'll get it done. So it's stories that give people solid content, but also give them something to go home with, if that makes sense. And I think that's what makes a good story. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. I mean, there's stories which you can just listen to and enjoy, and then there's stories that you listen to and connect, and then there's stories that you listen to, enjoy, connect, and change your life. And
oh, yeah.
I think what you tapped into is that last one. I mean, that story, that's like powerful. I can't even imagine how painful that would be, scrubbing a tattoo off with salt in a bath. But for her then to take something positive and leave it for your listeners at that event, that's powerful.
Okay. Exactly right. And it's amazing what you can do with stories as well, that particular story, just to convey that point a little more. I had my good friend Rebecca design a tattoo that I then put on a big screen, and throughout her story, the tattoo was slowly fading away in the background. And that just adds a little more to what she's trying to say. So you can do anything with stories, and, So What's Your Story holds shows that that features stories that entertains. It features stories that entertains, that makes people go home with something. And as you said, it features stories that people can have their lives altered or perceptions changed. And I think that's the most beautiful thing ever.
I do too. I think what you've created is extremely powerful. And it's so powerful that I've heard that you're actually taking it out of Australia. So what's happening, Sam, in August, I think?
Yeah, out of Australia, what's going on? All right, well, yeah. Again, it was one of those things where I said, I think it'd be a cool idea if I, do this thing in New York. Ha, 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 that's funny. And then it kind of happened. It kind of turned into something that was happening. So it turned from... only 8 months or so, what's your story being alive, me saying, I'm going to New York. Wait a minute. I'm going to take my show to New York. Why not? And it's turned from that to, all right, this is happening in New York, you know, and what can I do to... What can I do to have this very small storytelling company that's based in a very small city in Australia, what can I do to have that somehow impact in one way, shape or form the most culturally vibrant city in the world? So it's all this amazing journey that, again, started with me going, ha, that'd be cool, and then suddenly it's turned into something amazing, and something that is still so far out of this world and so far out of reach for me. But I know for a fact that I'm going to go there and I'm going to put on that show and do the best I can. And whether it works out 100% well or not, it is going to be the most incredible learning curve that I am going to then be able to take experience back to Brisbane to make the show better here. So it's going to be really fun. I'm really looking forward to it. And New York is definitely just the very first stop in what I truly believe will be many, many shows that are featured outside of Brisbane.
Well, Sam, this is a good place to speak about, because the show is aired right around the world, and I know that we're probably going to have listeners over in America, and we've got listeners who are probably in New York. So if you want to put a call out to people who might want to share their stories, why don't you do that right now?
Excellent. Yes, I'll do that. Thank you for this, by the way. Okay, so here we go, guys. As you know, So What's Your Story focuses on live stories told open, honest, and in the most unadulterated way possible. That means they're not PG, they're like R-rated. If anyone in New York has any R-rated stories that they'd want to share in August, please go to So What's Your Story Brisbane or facebook.com/SoWhat'sYourStoryBrisbane. I do want to hear from you. I am constantly looking for storytellers in New York, and it'll be amazing to go to New York, have a coffee with you, and chat about some things that make you who you are. So, yeah, contact me, contact Trish, and we'll sort something out.
Oh, I think that was absolutely amazing and a great opportunity for people over in New York who may not have come across something like this, and even if they have, to be able to do it with someone from out of America, get a different perspective on it, have a bit of fun meeting people, and maybe have some life-changing moments, which is what's happening. I'd like to ask you a bit about your story, Sam.
Let's
sure. A little bit more into Sam's background. The pro wrestler, Sam. What got you? I'm looking at this creative short stories that you do, your writing and your creative music, and then bam, in the middle of it, we've got becoming a pro wrestler. So what was in that part? How has that impacted on who Sam is today?
Oh, interesting you ask. That's a very interesting question. It was weird because I was 12 years old and I turned on the television and right there was WWE on the TV. And I don't look like or sound like or feel like the kid who is meant to be a pro wrestler, but I decided to get into it anyway. And I was a pro wrestler for a couple of years and then I broke my arm. There's actually a story I told a story at So What's Your Story. It's on YouTube. It's called I Used to Be a Pro Wrestler. And it highlights and outlines this whole story. But literally it was amazing because, yeah, I was never meant to be a pro wrestler. I don't think I was meant to be a pro wrestler, but I saw it on TV and I wanted to do it. So I started doing it, and again, it started off with an ego. I'm like, I'm going to be a pro wrestler. Yeah. And then it kind of turned into, after the first few matches, something that I realized was entertaining people, for the better or worse. You know, I wasn't the most captivating pro wrestler in the world, but I was entertaining people nonetheless. So I decided that, yeah, hey, this is awesome. I'm going to keep doing this. And unfortunately, I did break my arm, and I couldn't jump back in the ring there, but the good thing about it all is that as a 15-year-old being a pro wrestler, like, that's unheard of. So it actually really gave me enough confidence to be able to step out into the spotlight or step out into the limelight at a young age. And if I wasn't a pro wrestler, I wouldn't have started doing this, because I'd probably be a bit too scared to, you know, jump out in front of an audience of any kind. So, weirdly, being a pro wrestler helped me start my business.
Look, I think that's marvelous, because I'm a firm believer that everything we do in our lives brings us experience that, even if it doesn't quite work out at that time, that experience impacts on what we might do next, and it all becomes part of who we are. And I think you made a very valid comment there, that doing that gave you the confidence, and without that, as you said, you may not have been doing what you're really doing now, which is touching a lot of lives.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. It's a big build-up throughout life. You do something that's irrelevant to something else, but somehow, some way, they mean something and they mesh together.
And I think the other thing it is, it speaks to who Sam is. And Sam is someone, if he wants to do something, he'll jump in there and go at it 100% and do it. Would you say? I think that's who Sam is.
I think that's who I am. Yeah. I think to add to that, and I think a lot of people could probably relate, and if not, then here's some knowledge for you guys. I think the thing that's gotten me to do something, like, you know how people are always scared to start something? I've never been scared to start something, and the only reason I've never been scared to start something is because I've had a little idea in my head, like, oh, I should start a storytelling company, or, oh, I should, you know, wrestle. And I just had that little idea, and before I gave myself enough of a chance to overthink it, I just jumped into it. As soon as I realized that I wanted to start a storytelling company, I didn't plan ahead. I didn't think about something. I didn't, like, before I started getting my ABN or setting up my Facebook page and putting the word out to people, I didn't, like, meticulously plan everything. Instead, bam, I had the idea. I made a Facebook page. I called my family to tell them. I told all my friends, and the ball was rolling. From there, like, I didn't know anything about live storytelling. Like, apart from listening to a couple of podcasts, I knew nothing. I didn't know how to run a show. I didn't know anything. But what I did is I jumped right into it without even thinking. And the rest is history, because you learn as you go. And I think a lot more people need to do that, because I used to be someone who was very trapped in my head. But it's easy to get out of. The only thing you need to do is just start. Start, and if you start overthinking, just start anyway. And that's the biggest life.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very life-changing. And I saw an image on Facebook just recently, which was the definition of an entrepreneur jumping off the cliff and then designing the telephone on the way down. So I thought... And the question was asked, does people agree that this is who an entrepreneur is or isn't? And there was a lot of interesting comments about yes, they do, and no, they don't. But I think from what you've just said, that's pretty well what you do. And I think in some cases that is what an entrepreneur does. They may plan a little bit, but you do need to take that first step off that cliff and start. Because if you don't start, you're just going to stagnate.
That's exactly right. And, you know, if you're not set out to be an entrepreneur in that particular avenue, then, you know, you're not going to build, you know, something's not going to be built, or you're not going to build it right. And you're going to land awkwardly, or, you're going to crash and burn. And that's okay, because you can pick yourself back up and do it again. But there are so many things that I've tried personally that have failed. And there's only one or two things that I've tried recently that have not failed. But it's all about the stuff that, you know, it's not about tipping the scales here, you know. It's not about, oh, you did 10 things bad and one thing good. It's about the one thing that you're doing well. And those 10 things that you didn't do well, how they're suddenly starting to help you do this one thing well based on the experience you've had with them. So I think, start early. Like, start right now and embrace the fact that you'll fail. But just start, because you're going to learn something.
Absolutely. You'll learn something out of it. We're just going to take a little short break there, and we'll be back with Sam in a minute. I'm just going to remind you that if you have questions that you'd like to do, the call-in number for North America is 646-716-7979. If you're outside North America, follow that link that you did to get in to listen, which is tobtr.com/9812327. Follow the links there to put your questions in the chat room. And, of course, you can PM me any questions, and I will pass them on to Sam. And we are talking with Sam Siaka. I hope I got that right, Sam. Who is the founder of So What's Your Story? And what I would call a live storytelling mentor. And Sam has been sharing with us his passion about storytelling. He's shared with us how he has started and now built this fantastic event where people can go and share their stories. And it is helping people who are sharing those stories, and it's helping people who come and listen, and it's changing lives one story at a time. He's also shared with us how we're taking that to New York in August, and we are encouraging anybody over there who would like to be part of the live storytelling event and So What's Your Story in New York to contact Sam. He's also shared with us how being a pro wrestler has impacted and possibly been some of the catalyst to him being where he is now, and how he starts and just jumps in when he's got an idea. So, Sam, I'd like to know a little bit now, a little bit more about you, because I think I'm finding a fascinating Sam here. The creative music. Now, I happen to see a post where you actually have written some songs. Is that correct, or just the music?
Of course.
Yeah.
So,
share with us.
Well, I went to America in 2009, late 2009, and my American family is very, very musically inclined. They're very, very much inspiring people with music. That's their thing. They use music to inspire. So I decided to do a random little album. You know, why not? I'll write some lyrics. I'll do a random album, because why not? And I would have been 15 to 16 at this point. So I did it, and looking back on it, it's just awful, but you know, I had to get started to be able to keep going, and I over the years did another album. And then in 2013 I was in an era of my life that I like to call the class and confidence era. It's where I'd dress up in suits, it's where I'd put on a fedora, and I would act classy and act confident. That's who I liked to be at that point. And I decided to start writing music again, because I'd taken a lengthy break, and I just couldn't stop writing music. I went from album number 6, so I started writing album 6, and now I'm currently on album number 22, because I just couldn't stop. So it was what I like to call the creative boom era of my life, because I can't, like, it's something that's always stuck with me, and it doesn't seem like it's going to go away. It's like a toxic relationship, because no matter how many times I say, no, I'm not going to do another album, I've done enough, I'm going to focus on other things, it always comes back to me, and I always just keep making music. And it was interesting, because I actually posted a song up on Facebook a few days, and my good friend and fellow storyteller, Johan Carr, decided to actually talked to his mate, and they got it on the radio, which is a huge deal for me. But yeah, I use music to inspire as well, but music's also one of those things, and thank you. Yeah, music's also one of those things that I can use to inspire, but it inspires me as well. So very, very good. I'll never give music up.
I think sometimes when you've got something like that ingrained, that if you try and fight against it, it's going to just stand there and say, no, don't. And it's not a good idea to fight against creativity like that. It doesn't come out well.
I would definitely agree. Have you had moments like that in your life where you've had to fight something off and you realize that maybe it wasn't the best thing to do?
Yes. I fought for many years against writing because I didn't think I was good enough to write, and I've discovered that now I actually do like writing, and people actually do like reading what I write. So it's not a good idea to fight things off. You should go with the flow of creativity and let it take you where you want it, because it really does add to what you're doing in your life. Absolutely.
That's absolutely right. I so much agree with that.
Where can people go to listen to some of your music, Sam?
Ooh, I don't make it remarkably public, but what mm-hmm. I do is I don't have a SoundCloud account. I don't have any of that kind of stuff. I really just post it for my friends to hear on Facebook.
Okay.
However, if someone's really interested, I can send them a couple of the better songs. I can send them over a CD or something if they're somewhere around the world that I can't get to them. But, yeah, no, it's, add me as a friend on Facebook if you really want to hear something.
Aha. Well, there you go. You'll get some more friends on Facebook, I think, because people will be interested in the many facets of Sam. Because what I'm discovering and what I'm finding very much enjoyable in speaking with you, and also probably showcasing for other people, is that we all have different facets in our life. And sometimes we only let people see one aspect of who we are, when really it's all those other facets that create that one that we're letting people see. And sometimes we should open up and let people see all our facets, because then that's the whole person. And I like that what you're doing, Sam, is you are letting people see the different facets of your life. You speak about it anyway, and you share it. And you're also allowing yourself to be those different facets, which is really good.
Yeah, I thank you so much. I definitely agree with that, that is so crucial. I think, sorry, you go.
It's okay. I wanted to go on to the stories, because I see you also write short stories and novels. And are there any of those that would like to share that people could go and see and find out a bit more about that faster then?
Could you repeat that question, please?
Oh, just about your short stories and your novels. Where have you been putting those? And have you got published any, or have you got those coming out? I think there'd be a great story in there from Sam and his So What's Your Story?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because that was one of the things that I guess I've kind of outgrown. I've outgrown the whole writing short stories and novels. I used to love doing that. I did it, you know, all my schooling life. And I wrote a novel, read a couple of stories, but I never put them up anywhere, because I was always kind of just waiting for them to get published, and then I'd put them out there. You know, they'd be out there anyway. So I've never actually shared them publicly. If someone wanted to talk to me or strike up a conversation about some of the stuff I've done, and they're interested about hearing or seeing it or reading it, then by all means. But yeah, I probably won't put them out there anytime soon.
Okay. Well, I think actually that there is a book in you, Sam. I think there's a book in you about what you've been doing with So What's Your Story. I think there's a book there for you to share what you've been doing with your event and what's happened and how it's impacted on others. So maybe that's something you can think about for the future.
Yeah, great idea.
Yeah, I think it's something that you could do to... We're talking here about how important, and you're so passionate about sharing, people sharing their stories. And I think there's something that you need to share, because you've got a lot that you could share for people to shine a light on. So think about this book. I think it's there. I think it's sitting there inside you, Sam.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the thing, you know, I've listened to 150 or more stories in the past year and a half. And what it's taught me is that listening to people is actually different than what you think it is. Like, I've learned so much just from talking to people and hearing about people's lives. I've learned how to be more, and everyone can learn this as well, should they listen and really listen and talk to people. I've learned that every single person has a story. That means that guy who looks weird every morning and always gives you a wink, that creepy guy, he has a story. Like, figure out his story. That guy who, that girl who always seems like she's in a bad mood. Obviously, she's in a bad mood. She has a story. Like, talk to people. It's amazing how much I've learned just by hearing people and just by listening to people. And because I'm now the go-to guy in Brisbane for people to, like, vent to or ask advice about, like, because people know I listen because I'm the storytelling consultant that So What's Your Story, people come to me with some of the stuff they're going through. And it just blows my mind how many people who seem like they're something are actually something else. It's amazing to see how much humanity we all have here in Brisbane and how much people actually care and how much people are actually going through. And sorry to waffle on, but I just get super passionate because it's one of those things where I never used to be able to listen properly. I always used to have the next point that I'm going to make in my head as the other people are speaking. But being able to just sit down with people and hear about them and talk to them and listen to them, it got me to realize that listening isn't about simply waiting till the other person's finished speaking. Listening is actually about not having anything that you're going to say next in your head, waiting until they say their last word, but listening all throughout what they're saying. And only when they say their last word, that's when you think of something to say based on what they just said. I think that's actually listening. And a lot of people can get a lot better if they just talk to people. They just connect. So I think it's beautiful just talking to people and connecting. You know, even the homeless guy down the road, connect. You know, he's homeless for a reason. Find out why. Find out if there's anything you can do to help him. You know?
Very powerful. And you're not waffling, Seth. What you're doing is giving our listeners some very powerful words. And I have to agree, listening is something I talk to my mentor clients about it when we're talking about speaking and communicating and connecting. It's exactly what you're saying. And I don't think it's something we do very well in this world at all. As you say, we're too busy finding our own answers to listen to everybody all the way through.
Exactly. Exactly, but one of the what's help? Yeah, it's you're exactly right about that. You were too busy. It's a great way to put it. Finding our own answers before we listen to other people finish theirs. and it's so common, and no one thinks that there's anything wrong with it, and they're very much like may not be anything wrong with it, but it's a better conversation, and it teaches you more if you really sit there and hear what they're saying. Yeah.
Well, I think sometimes if you actually listen, you don't have to ask as many questions because if you listen, you'll find the answers.
That's true. That's exactly right.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to ask you, one of the things I was going to ask you was what are the insights and lessons you've learned? And I think you've just shared a powerful one there with the listening. But what else would you like to share with our people, insights, lessons you've learned through your life?
Oh, okay. So here's one. I spoke about this a couple of months ago at an event run by my friend Charlene, and the event's called Entrepreneurs Making a Difference. It's really, really cool. But I shared a little bit about storytelling and also how it's affected my mindset in relation to work ethic. Because I was just an average kid before I started this. I didn't know much. I didn't work hard. But like I had these dreams that were so far unattainable. They were right up there, and I didn't know how to get from where I was to these dreams that I've had. And what I did, and this is going to help anyone who wants to get somewhere that doesn't seem achievable. What I did when I started So What's Your Story is I had this big goal, or I'll call it a dream now. I had this big dream, and then I realized that if I wanted to reach my dream, like if I wanted to stop dreaming and actually get somewhere, I needed to wake up. So what I did is I turned every dream into goals. And that big dream that is so far out of your reach?
Mm-hmm.
You will know that. Absolutely. And the one that you...
Yeah.
How about, this is what I did, it might help you as well. How about instead of seeing that big dream as the end goal, instead what you do is bring it right down and see something a lot more achievable as your end goal. For example, if you want to be the leading bake, like if you want to be the biggest bakery in Queensland, but all you have is an idea about it, don't see your big goal as having that big bakery. What you do is don't see the big goal as everyone, all of the customers come in and raving about your bakery and you're getting 5-star reviews in every single food review website ever. Like, that's the goal, the big goal. But instead, how about you have that same enthusiasm that you have with that huge goal, and you turn that enthusiasm and you translate that into a small achievable goal, like getting an ABN and finding some staff. And suddenly, you'll have the same enthusiasm that you had with this huge dream that you have, and you'll apply it to your next step. And when you hit that next step, you'll be like, yes, that is amazing, that feels so good, I did it, what do I do now? And then you'll get the next step, and you'll employ the same enthusiasm to this next small step, and you'll keep doing that, and it's never going to seem boring. You're never going to seem like you're not getting anywhere towards your goal, or your goal's far away, because you're achieving them, and you're enthusiastic. You're enthusiastic in achieving your goals, if that makes sense. So that's what I've started doing. I've had this big goal for So What's Your Story, and it's in the back of my mind, but I'm getting the enthusiasm and the drive and the willpower that I have to achieve this huge goal, this 5-year goal. And what I'm doing is I'm instead saying, all right, this same enthusiasm I'm going to put into just my next show. So for the next 7 weeks, I'm going to work very hard with the exact same enthusiasm, and I'm going to hit that goal, and it's going to feel exactly the same as if I was to get that big goal. And then from there, you go, oh, that was amazing, this keeps me going. And then you do it again and again and again, and you keep building up until eventually, voila, you're at your big goal. That's been the biggest lesson I've learned.
And I think that's, thank you very much for sharing that, Sam, because that's a lesson that we can all take away and apply to anything that we do. And it's true, what happens is sometimes we have those big goals, and while we're enthusiastic about it, we don't know how to get there, and we lose that enthusiasm because we drop the ball and we don't break it down into smaller goals. So what you've shared is a way of building on your enthusiasm each time. And if you're enthusiastic, well, things happen. And we're looking at, we're listening to Sam, and we can see how much the enthusiasm that Sam has generated has turned into big things happening for him. My other question I wanted to do, and you've probably answered a little bit, but we might just delve down another step, is what really motivates you, Sam? What really motivates you?
Oh, okay. Well, obviously on a deep core level, we have, you know, me being born early. On a day-to-day level, what motivates me,
Have I still got you, Sam, or are you thinking? I think maybe I have lost Sam and he's dropped off. Oh, what a shame. I think we've just lost Sam, unfortunately. His sound has dropped off. Hopefully he will come back, because I wanted to hear what really motivated him. Unfortunately, we've got these little technical difficulties that sometimes come in, and I think it's probably the enthusiasm that Sam has been sharing with us has probably broken our technology, and we've lost the sound from him, which is a shame. We are nearing the end of the show. We'll hopefully maybe get Sam back. Maybe he could just log back in again. I might just log him off and I'll get him to log back in, and maybe that sound will come back. So I've just asked Sam to log back in again and see if we can get him back just to finish that last bit of the show. Hopefully we can do that. We get technical difficulties sometimes. It just happens. So I've asked him to log back in again, and if he does, we can finish the show off. Yep, he's reconnecting for me. That'll be great. Meanwhile, people, I think I might have him back. Hi, Sam, we got you back? Nope, I think we've lost the sound. He's back in, but I still can't hear him. What a shame than that. Look, people, no matter, we've been talking with Sam. Sam has been sharing his absolute passion for storytelling and for what has been happening. I'll just check again. Sam, can you hear me? Nope, he's dropped off. I think he's going to try again. No problems, people. We are coming close to the show, and we will be posting a replay of this. If you do want to hear about more about Sam and what's going on, and I do apologize for that sound difficulties, we can get them. I put the sound difficulties down to the fact that Sam was sharing so much enthusiastic information that he probably broke the whole of Blog Talk Radio because nobody was listening. So that's what happens sometimes. We'll see if he's back. Hi, Sam. Can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely. I'm not sure what happened there. Let's just go with your story.
I've just been telling everybody that you broke it because you were so enthusiastic with your storytelling that we just broke the whole system. Never mind.
I just killed the broadcast.
Yes, you did. Not a problem. There's a song about that too, I think, somewhere. Very similar to it. About killing the radio show? I'm not sure.
Yes.
But we've got about 5 minutes left. So just briefly, in a couple of sentences, what motivates you, Sam?
Excellent. Seeing the gratitude from people who didn't know what live storytelling was, yet they've come to the show and somehow they've either had a great night, they've had their perceptions changed, or something in their head has happened and they've really started to employ, they've taken something great away from the show and they're employing that into their own life. Motivation comes from gratitude, gratefulness, and from seeing everyone else kind of seeing something that I created have an impact on someone else, essentially.
Oh, wonderful. Brilliant. And that's a great motivation to have. I can really relate to that. My final question to you, which is one I ask all my guests, and in just a few sentences, if you could give me the answer, it is, what do you think makes a great speaker and why? I know you're going to say storytelling.
What you say as a speaker is nothing compared to how you say it. And I was talking to one of my storytellers last night about this. She has a very compelling story. However, what we need to work on is how she's going to say it to actually make impact, to impact people. Because it's one thing to say something. Instead of saying something like, I went to the shops the other day and I saw a kid fall down, the way you can say it is, I went to the shops the other day and I saw a kid fall down. It's all about how you say it. That's what makes a good speaker great, in my opinion, how they say things.
Yep, the voice. And
the voice, yes.
The tone and what they put into it. Thank you very much for sharing your stories with us today on the show. We've been speaking with Sam, and he is a live storytelling mentor. He's the founder of So What's Your Story, which is a brilliant event that happens in Brisbane, and he's still going to be shortly taking that in August over to New York. Sam, just let us know, where can people contact you this last minute so if they want to be able to speak in New York or they'd like to come to one of your events here, just share where they can contact you.
Excellent. Well, the email address is sowhat_yourstory@hotmail.com. And the Facebook page, which you can easily message us or post something on there, is facebook.com/sowhatsyourstorybrisbane. If you were to search So What's Your Story in the search bar, there are a couple of them there, but ours is the one with the yellow background and the black question mark. Otherwise, that's what we have.
Great. And I would urge all of you to connect with Sam. He has a lot of stories. He has a wealth of motivation, a wealth of lessons that he shares with you. And he has a place where you can go and share your stories in live storytelling. And, yep, live storytelling might be daunting to you, but he's found a place where you can go and do that in a supportive environment. So thank you very much, Sam, for being with us today. I've thoroughly enjoyed our communication and our storytelling.
Thank you so much, Trish. I really appreciate that. I'm sorry I was a little late, by the way. But thank you so much.
Late.
I really
we didn't tell
it.
Anybody you were late. Now, you just told them they were late, and I did such a brilliant job of starting
like
the program without letting them know.
I was a minute late here, but as Trish said, she nailed it.
Thank you so much
for having me on here, Trish.
You're very welcome. Okay, people, before we leave, I just have one more quote to share with you. And as you just, I usually find these quotes, and as you heard at the beginning, I shared one which was a Native American proverb. This one is from Michael Margolis, and it says, storytelling is about connecting to other people and helping people to see what you see. And that's what we've been hearing all the way through our show today with Sam. We've concentrated on storytelling, on the space that he has created for people. We've heard Sam's stories, and there's been a variety of stories. We've seen so many different facets of Sam's life and how each of those facets has brought him to doing what he does today, which is holding that space for people. You've been listening to Step Up and Speak Out with Trish. You can contact me at info@trishel.com.au. That's trishel.com.au. Connect with me on Facebook at Trishel Innovative Communication Training. Just put Trish Springsteen to Facebook. I'm the purple person. You'll find me all over Facebook. And if you'd like to book me to speak at your event, or if you'd like to work with me and want a discovery session, you can go to my website, trishspringsteen.com. And you've got two places there to either book me to speak at your event or conference, or to book a discovery session with me. Have an awesome week and get out there, share your stories. And most importantly, though, listen to the people who want to share their stories with you. Listen and see where that takes you. Have a great week. Bye.
I can do anything, I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want, I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.